Faith the best with God the Joe. Faith the best with God the Joe. Faith the best with God the Joe.
Preaching time. It is preaching time on today. Let's pray. God, our Father, we come thanking you, praising you, glorifying you, worshiping you, for there is none like you in all the earth. For you are high and holy, righteous and just, magnificent and awesome. We bow down to you today, O God. For you are the King of kings and the Lord of lords. You are the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. You are the giver of every good and perfect gift. God, we need you here on today. Ask, oh God, that you move from the pulpit to the back door, from upstairs to downstairs, and from left to right, oh God. I ask that you be in the midst. Allow your spirit to lay heavy on today, oh God. Allow your people not to see me, O God, but to hear you. Hide me behind the cross, O God, so the only face that they see will be that of you. Search me, O God, and know my heart, and try me and know my thoughts, and see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting, and let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. Amen. 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 To our associate ministers, I praise God for you and the work that God is doing in you in the ministry here at Metropolitan. Our foundational scripture has already been read in your hearing, and you have been reading it in the weeks that I've been here, so I don't want you to stand on today. I know you know it by heart. Amen. First, that's, y'all didn't say amen. Y'all don't know what I'm going to say, right? Y'all better know it's only but a few words. 1 Thessalonians 5:17, and it says what? All right, I got four people. It says what again? It says pray without ceasing. Amen. That is our foundational scripture. And today's sermon is what we call in seminary a topical sermon. I'm not going to stay in one particular passage. I'm going to jump around just a little bit. So don't get confused. I'm going to read it for you so you don't have to flip if you don't want to. From my understanding, Metropolitan has been focusing on prayer in 2023. And some of you have an outstanding IOU that's due regarding your prayer life. But what does that actually mean? Simply put, you have not been in recent and constant communication with God concerning the things of your heart. And sooner or later, he's going to call on that IOU, that inner, outer, and upward prayer. But let's be preemptive and to start or restart our dialogue with God. He desires to commune with you in prayer. Did you know that there is about 650 different prayers in the Bible? But it's very difficult to get an accurate number of how many times the word prayer is referenced or mentioned in the Bible. And that is simply because there's different translations. But in general, there's over 600. The actual number of times it's actually mentioned is might be a little bit lower, but the reference to people like King David, just because he simply prayed without actually saying the word prayer. Today, I want to share with you three simple things. God hears you, God sees you, and God responds to you. God hears you, God sees you, and God responds to you. Oftentimes when we pray, we think God is not listening to us. In fact, I don't know about you. I can't speak to the folk here at Metropolitan, but I have a feeling sometimes that God just ignores me. I think sometimes he just hits the off button. He is not listening to what it is that I'm asking for. He's not listening to what it is that I'm begging him for. I think he just ignores me. As a kid would say, he's just igging. He just ignore me. But I must admit, I have not been consistent or constant or persistent with my own prayers and my concerns. But our sister Hannah, she was different. She was consistent and she was persistent in her prayer life. So much so that God heard her cries, her pleas, and her prayers. And just like he heard her, he also hears us. So let's take a look at 1 Samuel, starting with chapter 1 in verse 9, where it reads, "Once after a sacrificial meal at Shiloh, Hannah got up and went to pray. Eli, the priest, was sitting at his customary place beside the entrance of the tabernacle. Hannah was deep in anguish, crying bitterly as she prayed to the Lord. And she made this vow, 'O Lord of heaven's armies, if you will look upon my sorrow and answer my prayer and give me a son, then I will give him back to you. He will be yours for his entire lifetime. And as a sign that he has been dedicated to the Lord, his hair will never be cut.'" Jump down to verse 19, where it says the entire family, not just mom, not just dad, not just the grandparents, but the entire family got up early in the morning and went to worship the Lord once more. That means that they've done this before as a family. Then they returned home to Ramah. When Elkanah slept with Hannah, the Lord remembered her plea, and in due time she gave birth to a son. She named him Samuel, for she said, "I asked the Lord for him." Hannah's prayer is one of the most inspiring in the Bible. Hannah cried out to the Lord, unafraid to show him her broken heart and depressed emotions. The Bible says that she wept bitterly, so much so that the priest at the temple thought that she was actually drunk at this altar. But even in her despair, she did not waver in her belief that the Lord is good. When the Lord blessed her with a child, she sang his praises. Hannah never stopped believing that the Lord was good, even in her depression. So my question to you is, what's your prayer life like? Has it been fruitful and fulfilling? What's your relationship with God like in your darkest moments? We all go through dark times. It's a part of daily living. It's what we do day by day by day. Some folk die and we are heartbroken. Some people leave us and we are heartbroken. But what's your prayer life like? Are you whining and complaining? Are you sitting on your do-nothings all day long, wishing and hoping and praying that something is going to change? We need to be more like Hannah. Hannah was depressed, but she didn't change. She didn't have any children, though she desired, but she did not change. She still went to the temple as required. Have you been going to church in the midst of your battles? Although she was being bullied because of her barrenness, she was still going to the temple as required. Even though she didn't understand why she was going through this, why God didn't fulfill her prayer request, she still went to the temple as required. In fact, she went year after year after year. And I imagine that she still said the same prayer time in and time out over and over again. If I were to use my sanctified imagination, I imagine she'd say something like this: Lord, it's me again, your humble servant, standing in the need of prayer. I know that you see what Elkanah's other wives are doing and saying to me. I know you see that they're picking on me, that they're making fun of me. I know that you know that I don't have any children, Lord. I know that you know that I desire to have at least just one child of my own, Lord. I know that you know my prayer request, because I'm here yet again over and over again. God, if you could just please bless me just one, this one request, God, that I have a child of my own. In your mighty name, amen. How many of you prayed a prayer like this? You just want him to grant you that one thing, that teeny weeny, itty bitty thing. You just want him to hear your pleas, to hear your cries, to hear your prayer. Listen, even if you feel that you're all alone, know that God has never left you, nor has he forsaken you. Even when you think that he is not there, he still hears you. Our problem is simple. We don't like the answers that he gives us. He tells us yes. He tells us no. He tells us, oh, wait a minute, hold on. I know Hannah's prayer. I am Hannah to a degree. I prayed year after year after year to have a child of my own. And I felt that the Lord was saying, okay, hold on, wait until after you get married. All right, got married. Wait, just hold on just a minute. Wait a month. Wait a year. Baby, it's not yours to have. You're not going to have children of your own. But even though you don't have children of your own, you will be better to touch the lives of many children who will come to you in your lifetime. My point to this is simple. God hears your prayers and he will respond to you in to your prayers, just like he heard Hannah's prayers and responded to her. Keep praying until something happens. Pray until you get an answer. Not just the answer you want to hear. Because we like those answers, right? It satisfies us to hear what we want to hear. But to hear a true answer from God. What he wants from your life. Not necessarily what you want, but what he wants. Because he knows all about your situation. God will not fail you, even in your weakest and your darkest moments. God hears you, even when you think he's not listening. He's listening. He hears you even when you've been unfaithful. He hears you even when you have walked away from him. He hears you despite you thinking that he's not there. Just like God hears you, he also sees you. Let's take a look at our sister Hagar in Genesis 21. Starting at verse 15, where it says, when the water in the skin was gone, she put the boy under the bushes. Then she went off and she sat down about a bow shot away, for she thought, I cannot watch the boy die. And as she sat there, she began to sob. God heard the boy crying. And the angel of God called to Hagar from heaven and said to her, what is the matter, Hagar? Do not be afraid. God has heard the boy crying as he lies there. Lift the boy up and take him by the hand, for I will make him into a great nation. Then God opened her eyes and she saw a well of water. So she went and filled the skin with water and gave the boy a drink. You may or may not be familiar with Hagar's story, so let's take a quick look as to who she is and what she has to tell us. Hagar had a rather dismal lot in life. She was a slave belonging to Sarah, and when Sarah obeyed the Lord and sinned in convincing Abraham to sleep with Hagar so that she might become pregnant, she bore a son for Abraham. But this was not the son that was promised to Abraham and to Sarah. So Sarah demanded that she leave after being mistreated by Hagar. But God saw favor in Hagar, and he spoke to Hagar when she was out there. And he said, baby, I need you to go back. I imagine she was like, but she don't like me like that. She don't want me there, and you want me to go back there? Because why again? I need you to go back and be obedient unto Sarah. So she returned back as God has instructed her. Fast forward just a little bit after Sarah birthed and the beloved son Isaac, and he started to grow. Ishmael, Hagar's son and Abraham's firstborn, began to tease and to pick on Isaac. The Bible says that Sarah was troubled. In other words, she was quite angry. This, the son that God had given me, this boy who is illegitimate, is going to pick on my child? Not today. She summoned Abraham and she said to Abraham, she's got to go. Abraham, I imagine, looked at her and tried to plead his case. And Sarah was like, I'm not having that. He has got to go. So Abraham packed her and the boy up and put her on a donkey and gave her some water and some victuals, and they set them off. As she was traveling across the desert, they ran out of water. And they sat there and they waited to die. But God had not forgotten her. God was gracious to her. He not only heard Hagar's prayers, but he saw her and the boy as well. And in the midst of her despair, God showed Hagar a well of water and promised to make her son the father of another great nation. Not the nation of him, but at another nation. How many of you are sitting in the middle in a despair and dismal situation right now? You feel that God has abandoned you and has forgotten all about you. You feel that the sins that you have committed has caused God to turn his back on you. But oh, my brothers and my sisters, that is not the case at all. God has not forgotten you, nor has he forsaken you. In fact, he hears you and he sees you. You see, God desires you to call on him in your prayer time. He desires to have a relationship with you. He wants you to tell him all about your troubles. The hymnologist says it like this: have a little talk with Jesus. Tell him all about your troubles. He will hear your faintest cry. He will answer by and by. You have a responsibility. You have a responsibility to pray without ceasing. You have a responsibility to rejoice evermore. You have a responsibility to keep the faith, even if it appears that God is not with you. Hebrews 11:1 says it like this: now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. We have got to walk by faith and not by sight, because God hears us and he sees us. But there's just one more thing that I want you to remember. One more thing that I want you to take in. God will respond. Let's fast forward into the New Testament to our sister Elizabeth in Luke 1, where it says, after these days, his wife Elizabeth conceived. And for 5 months, she kept herself hidden, saying, thus the Lord has done for me in the days when he looked on me to take away my reproach among people. Elizabeth is the mother of John the Baptist. She was married to Zechariah. She is also the cousin to Mary, the mother of Jesus. Elizabeth was barren. In other words, she was unable to have children. Today, we would say that she was suffering from infertility. And in the culture in which she lived, and even in the culture that we live in today, being barren, being infertile can bring shame upon the family. Yet the scripture says that Elizabeth was righteous in the eyes of God, careful to obey all of the Lord's commands and regulations. She never became bitter over her barrenness. She trusted God to do with her life what he deemed best. We can safely assume that Elizabeth prayed for a baby, and she waited and waited and waited some more. But she was not moping around and not, you know, sitting, sulking day in and day out. She was about her father's business. She was faithfully serving God regardless of whether or not he was going to bless her with a child. Then, in God's infinite wisdom, then in his perfect timing, he did it. She considered herself immensely blessed by God and didn't need to parade around the town to show them that she was with child. She was overwhelmingly joyful simply because she knew that God heard her, that he saw her, that he responded to her cries, simply because she prayed until something happened. Let's bring this home. Is it something that you've been praying about, thinking that God isn't going to respond? Just know that he will respond. Here's the thing. He may not give you the answers that you wanted. We mentioned it earlier. He says yes, no, and wait. The last two things are hard to accept simply because we're human and we want what we want when we want it, because that's just what we want. But God, being God all by himself, knows it all. Even before we ask him for it, he knows what is best for us. He knows whether the answer is yes, no, or wait. But regardless of what we may think, the answer should be we have a responsibility, and that is to push, pray until something happens. Will you continue to pray? Will you continue to push? God desires to connect with us on a different and a deeper level. He wants to hear from us, other than begging and pleading for him to fix this and to fix that, to go here and to go that. My God is not a gopher and he is not a dog. He is Elohim. He is Adonai. He is Yahweh. He is Jehovah Jireh, Jehovah Teneskiru. He is Jehovah Shalom. He is the Almighty God. Remember, Paul tells us that in 1 Thessalonians 5 and 17 that we are to pray without ceasing. In the Greek, praying without ceasing is in the present imperative tense, meaning that it is a command. It's not a suggestion. It's not something that you should think about. I'll get to it when I have time. No, it is a command. To do something in the future involves a continuous and a repeated action. So the question on the table is this: what are you going to do? What are you willing to sacrifice to get your answer? I suggest that you continue to push. Pray until something happens. Pray until you get a response. Pray until it changes. Pray until you change. Pray until the situation gets all the way turned around. It says in the late, in the midnight hour, God's going to turn it around and around and around and around. Late in the midnight hour, he's going to work it out for you. Late in the midnight hour. That midnight hour does not necessarily mean 12 a.m. It could be at 12 noon, but late in the midnight hour, he's going to turn it around. It doesn't mean 6 p.m. Late in the midnight hour means when things don't look right. Late in the midnight hour means when you are at home by yourself crying into your pillow because you just don't understand. God will turn it around just for you. Remember, God hears you. God sees you. God will respond to you. Your response from God may not be what you want, may not be what you expect it to be, but nevertheless, he will respond to you and your situation. But remember to push. Push. Pray until something happens. Why should we pray? We should pray because he hears us. He sees us. He responds to us. Well, how do you know? How can you be sure? Do we have any witnesses in the house about the fact that God will answer your prayers? Let's go back to the Bible. What does it say? We talked about some women in the Bible. What about our men? We have our men Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who was thrown into the fiery furnace. They prayed so hard that the pre-incarnate Christ came and appeared with them in the fire. Daniel was faithful in praying 3 times a day. He was so faithful that when he was thrown into the lion's den, he survived. Then we have our warrior, our man of valor. We have Gideon. He prayed to the Lord on high, Lord, if you could make the ground wet and the fleece dry, maybe I'll go with you. And so God did it. And then he said, all right, wait a minute. I'm not understanding this. Okay, so if you could do that in reverse, Lord, then I will obey you. My point to these icons in the Bible is simple. They prayed until something happened. The 3 Hebrew boys were not consumed by fire. Daniel was not devoured by the lion. And Gideon, a mighty in battle, was against the Midians, and he won. Will you, my brothers and my sisters, push? Will you pray until something happens? What will you do? It is up to you. You have a responsibility to stay before the Lord day in and day out. You have a responsibility to God to make your request known unto him every single time. Do not give up. That is our problem. We think that if we pray about it that just one time, that suffice. Jesus prayed repeatedly. Why do you think that you should not pray over and over and over again? We're not praying in vain. We're not trying to show off about what it is that we are doing. That's what they said in the New Testament. But we are to go into our prayer closet. We are to go into our prayer closet. And we are to tell God all about our troubles. We are to let him know, God, I'm not feeling this right now. I don't like what is happening. I don't like how it makes me feel. I don't like being uncertain. I want certain things to be a certain way. God, I do not like this feeling. But he wants to hear from you each and every day. Make your request known. He hears you. He sees you. And he will respond to you. Push until you can't push no more. Push until you can see a difference. Push until you change. Push until the situation comes. Push in the midnight hour. Push in the early morning. Push in the evening time. Push even when you're crying. Push, 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 push. God hears you. God sees you. God will respond to you.
Hallelujah. The splendor of a king, clothed in majesty, and all the earth rejoices. All the earth rejoices. He wraps himself in light, and the veil.